Lots of Cubs news here on a Tuesday as the Cubs and Jason Hayward part ways. They pick up Franmil Reyes, more shortstop chatter as they enter the offseason. Plus, the Cubs take the first game over the Nationals in a three-game series. That's all ahead on Locked On Cubs.
You are Locked On Cubs. Your daily Chicago Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Dancing Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. If you're watching on YouTube, he is really jacked up tonight. Speaking of YouTube, literally while we were on the air taping the Lindsey Crosby episode for Wednesday, Sam.
Did we get 1,000?
We eclipsed 1,000 subscribers, and we're very thankful for that. It's been a great run so far. A ton of news about the Northsiders. As they part ways with Jason Hayward, they subsequently add an outfielder from at the big league level in Franmil Reyes. More shortstop chatter, this time courtesy of Ken Rosenthal. Just a lot to get to here.
And we're going to get to all of it, but we must say, we'll talk about it a little later on, we must say it's always a good day when the Cubs win a ball game. And that happened just 10 minutes ago.
That's true. And it was a solid game. I'm excited to talk about it. One player that will not be donning the red and blue pinstripes the rest of the year, Sam, is Jason Hayward.
Correct.
Jason Hayward's first year with this franchise was 2016. 2016, of course, the Cubs won the World Series. It's always great to say that. He proved to be almost a, oh, wow, I'm having a brain freeze on the term. He gave a speech during the rain delay, and it was almost to the point where it was a fable. It was a fairy tale. Like, Jason Hayward gave this speech, and Theo Epstein first told us about it, and everybody was talking about it. But Hayward has been with this club for a long time. He has struggled mightily for a long time as well. And Jed Hoyer announced today that Hayward will not return this season and in 2023 as the Cubs open some more playing time for other guys.
Yeah, I think the Hayward thing's a really simple. You know, I saw some people on Twitter arguing about it. It's a really simple takeaway.
Yeah.
Great guy. On all counts, an elite human being, right? I mean, I don't know him personally, but I've listened to him talk and do interviews and heard and all this stuff. Tremendous guy. Rooted for him from day one until he left here. Because he's a great guy and a great spirit, you know, he ends up helping them win the World Series with something off the field, which is great. With that being said, with all that being true, it was probably the worst signing in the history of the organization long term. You're never going to hear somebody publicly say that because they won the World Series. And that's fair. That's fair. The Soriano contract never resulted in that. But if you look at Soriano's contract compared to Jason Hayward, it's night and day. Jason Hayward in 7 years, or I guess you could say 6.5, with the Chicago Cubs had an OPS of 700. And that was really inflated by a monster 2020 season. He was the second best hitter on the team behind Ian Happ in that shortened 2020 season. If that was a full season, I think we have enough of a track record to know that that probably would have regressed mightily. His worst year with the club was this year in 2016, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But they gave him, you know, $180 million, $25 million a year. He was a really good glove for the first half of his contract, but just a bat that just really, really struggled to the point where, and again, great guy, every time he came to the plate, I didn't even want to watch. I know it's either going to be a pop out, a strikeout, or a ground out to the right side. And it's why, Matt, and I guess this is a great segue a little earlier than we'd like, but a great segue, why I'm apprehensive on Dansby Swanson as a free agent candidate for the Cubs, because
okay, why is that?
We learned because Jason Hayward had one really nice offensive year with the Cardinals before he became a free agent. Mm-hmm. And now Dansby Swanson is having one really nice offensive year with the Braves before he becomes a free agent. Those one year, I don't want to call them outliers, but right before a contract year, make me a little bit apprehensive because Is that really the hitter you are, or is it just one of those crazy baseball things where you're just really good for a year? I'd much rather go with somebody with a longer offensive track record like the other three gentlemen that we'll speak about. But I'll remember Jason Hayward, great guy, took accountability, you know, never pouted, never complained about fans like other guys do when they struggle. He couldn't hit. He just couldn't hit. And I don't know what else there is to say, Matthew.
Yeah, I think there really isn't too much to add. You know, he was a huge signing at the time. He actually took less money with the Cubs, if that matters to anybody. I've never seen a player that was elite, and I'm talking 16, 17, I would say 18 as well, elite defensively in right field,
right?
But then so putrid offensively. He didn't have a single solid productive season
until 2020.
You outlined 2020, but it was the shortened year,
right? Right,
and so he really didn't have a single solid productive
campaign. Yeah, I think he had one okay year. I think it was 18. He was okay.
Okay. All right.
He was okay.
You know, there was some offensive.
I'll back that up.
There were some offensive highlights. The walk-off grand slam against the Phillies. The go-ahead homer off Hader, at Miller Park. I would just emphasize.
He was okay. He actually was okay in 18 and 19. He just wasn't, 731 OPS, 772 OPS. In 18, he actually batted 270, but with zero power.
Never had power, man.
And then he had his best power year in 19. He had 21 of his 62 home runs in a Cub uniform in 2019.
Wow. Okay. I just wanted,
I don't know why that matters. It doesn't matter.
Well, I just wanted to emphasize, Hayward is not a villain.
No.
You could say this was too late. You can say it was overdue, but he's a great guy. I heard a great story today about the baseball academy he's building in the Austin neighborhood in Chicago.
Right.
And he's been there almost like every day construction, especially because he's on the IL. That's really cool. The bottom line is he's not a part of the plans moving forward. There is no reason to play him the rest of the year.
Right.
He was going to be gone in 23 anyway. They were going to part ways, and they just decided to announce it now. You know, it's, I guess, a little bit of odd timing, but it opens up playing time for Morel, Velasquez, and other guys.
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you find it odd at all that when I called you on that Friday afternoon before the Cubs took the field at Yankee Stadium, on Friday evening when I was really upset that they DFA'd the then Clint, now Jackson Frazier,
in order
to continue to get Jason Hayward at bats. And then just a couple months later, and they got lucky that they were able to get Clint Frazier back because nobody claimed him. And then a couple months later, they announced that he's done. What do you think changed in that time frame?
Not sure.
It's odd. It's just odd sometimes the way we do business, isn't it?
I do think Jed Hoyer, I don't know if sense of urgency is the right phrase, but he does seem to be more open.
Yes, yes.
The last couple of weeks.
Transparent would be the word, I feel like.
Yeah, so I wonder if that plays into it at all. If he's going to do all this stuff, he's going to start to pick up his dialogue. Okay, let's do this announcement now. But the thing is like, and you can't really get it out of your system, although it's a year in which the team is losing a lot anyways, but he did take so many plate appearances earlier in the year.
Yeah, I guess the only defensible thing would be to say, they thought maybe they can get him on a hot streak and attach him to a deal at the deadline. I don't know. I don't see how that could have happened. But
another player that this could open time for is Franmil Reyes, and we'll talk about him and the upcoming shortstop market this offseason next. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Delicious, indulgent cookie dough all covered in chocolate. That's right, Built has done it again. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff, whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite. Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugar, and grab yourself a Built bar. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15. And once again, you're listening to Locked On Cubs, your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. Franmil Reyes, Sam.
Excited.
Was picked up off waivers from the Guardians today.
Excited.
I wanted to just outline some of his power potential because I think he's a good pickup in this type of season. What's still in there? Could he be a piece for 23? Could he be a piece for 24?
Just 26 years old, averages 162 game average, 34 home runs. Interesting.
30 homers last season, 37 in his second year. It's definitely intriguing. And this, again, is a need that Hoyer's addressing where he can.
You know how many games he played last year? Take a guess without looking.
156.
Homers. Yeah, 115.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he's obviously had a really bad year this year, got DFA'd. But this is the type of move when you're in a rebuilding phase, it's just a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Like, people were upset about this move. Why?
People are upset about the Reyes move?
I saw people like, yeah, I can't believe we signed this guy. He's terrible.
Oh,
it's like,
no.
This is a no-brainer. Look, the guy hits the ball. It's a no-brainer. The guy hits the ball on the ground too much. He strikes out too much. There's a reason he got DFA'd. But, you know, right. If you could unlock him at Wrigley Field and figure out a way to get him back to hitting 30 balls out of the ballpark every 115 games, that's a tremendous asset on a team that tonight was their first time at Wrigley Field hitting multiple home runs in a game since late June. Nice. I know people get mad at me when I flux my voice, so I'm trying not to.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, people don't like when I do my high-pitched voice. I'm sorry, I won't do it. I just want to emphasize one more time. Late June. That's the summer months at Wrigley Field.
I think you should do it. Let's do the voice.
No, I don't want to upset people. I don't want to upset people. People get really upset at me a lot. And I just try and come in here and talk about this ball club that I love.
We're talking baseball.
But that they need this team needs power and a lot of it.
Yes. Yeah, and I do wonder how they're going to, you know, because they have some options with Franmil. They could send him to Iowa. But I do think a transaction might even happen Tuesday.
He's got to be in the lineup tomorrow evening.
That would be great. And I think that means that Schwindel is probably DFA, don't
as
you?
As we have forecasted, it's got to be Frank. It's enough already.
You've heard it first here.
Yeah, for about 2 weeks.
Locked On Cubs. Subscribe on YouTube.
Because there's no reason to even option him to AAA when Rivas and Mervis are getting at bats. So
no, zero. Zero reason.
Yeah, no, it's time.
It is. And today, the Cubs were also in the headlines when the Athletic's Ken Rosenthal was on a podcast and talking about the shortstop market this winter. We know that Correa, Turner, Bogaerts, and Swanson are all available this winter, and Rosenthal said that they've got to get, and he believes they will get, one of the big shortstops. He later went on to say they've got some promising things happening. It's certainly exciting to hear from an insider like that. Not only are the Cubs going to be in the convo, but they're going to potentially get one of these guys.
Yeah, and teaser alert, you know, there's a lot of exciting things happening within the organization. You can catch that on tomorrow's show with Lindsey Crosby.
Very nice.
Thank you. Is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
I want you to. We got to tweet about that stuff. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I got to do that tomorrow from my account and the Cubs account.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of Rosenthal, I mean, this isn't news. We've covered this on this show extensively. The Cubs are I would say there's like an over 80% chance that one of those four names, probably one of three names, I don't think Swanson's they're going to get, is going to end up in Chicago. I think we've kind of narrowed it down to Bogarts or Correa. We'll see what happens. You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the trickle-down effect that has with the lineup. Will Contreras, you know, accept that qualifying offer? All this stuff. There's a lot of things that are up in the air for 23. But the big point I wanted to make just regarding 23, because I was hinting at it last night, and I didn't make it, and it upset me. And I was listening to our show back today in the car, and it was a point to be made. The point I want to make about 23, Matt,
Michael Jordan,
is that this team needs growth from the current roster guys. Because when we were talking yesterday, we talked about, hey, let's hypothetically say they add Sean Manaea and Xander Bogaerts. Remember that?
Great.
And we were like, oh, well, then this team should be really good. Well, this team is right now in last place, or half a game up on last place, and on pace to win 67 games. Are those two guys good enough to get you 20 extra wins? Of course not. No two guys are on paper. There has to be some growth internally from this 2022 team. It was like I was talking about today on the Iowa Field of Dreams broadcast. I said it very with a lot of conviction. This team has underachieved this season, and there's been some injuries, but you know, they should not be this bad. They got to look at the manager has to do a better job. Seiya Suzuki has to do a better job. Situationally hitting, defending, base running. They need to get better as a group and get to where I think they could have been, which is a 75, 77, 78 win team. And then you add those two pieces, and now you're talking about a team that could be hanging around in August. You know, I do you agree with that?
I do, because baseball is such a team game, such a democratic game. We can't pass it to the same guy. We
complimentary game to too.
Guy. Yeah. And the two players would be absolutely huge. It would rile up the fan base, but you have to get better internally, and you have to get better on the margins.
Right.
And so that's probably going to be some low cost signings. That's probably going to be some promotions
and just some philosophical stuff, like when to bring in a certain pitcher, and hey, yeah, let's not bring in this reliever with first and second no outs. Let's give him a clean inning, and let's not hit and run with a guy that swings and misses all the time. You know, these type of things. But let his hit and run. And by the way, quick shout out to Nick Madrigal. I guess I could do this later. He's having a little bit better at bats. I have my eyes on you, Nicholas.
Let's talk about Madrigal and the Cubs defeating the Nationals 6-3 coming up next. First, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest developments, league reviews, and news, including all things MLB. Head to betonline.net or download the app to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, where the game starts.
I'd like to make a bet that I'm gonna go tomorrow night and ride my bike down Kenmore with my glove and catch a Franmil Reyes home run.
That's awesome. And just speaking of that, Sam, I have confirmed that. I love the Kenmore references.
Thank you.
Because diehards will know that 100%.
Everybody knows what Kenmore Ave is.
I'm excited to confirm that I will be in attendance for tomorrow night's ball game.
And that's going to be Marcus Stroman versus some guy Espino.
Yes, Tuesday night's game. And I will be bringing Locked On Cubs business cards.
Oh,
okay. I will have an active presence. This is my first time attending a game as the host of this program. And I will be embracing this. I'm very excited. Let me know if you're going.
And go Cubs.
Go Cubs, by the way. Excited to see Stroman.
Yeah, he's been pitching great. Dominate this game tomorrow. What's the weather supposed to be like tomorrow?
71 It's sunny at first pitch.
Oh, so cool. That could be a 7-8 inning tilt for Stroman.
Right. Okay, Velasquez 3 hits today. Morel 2 hits, including a 2-run bomb. Velasquez hit a solo bomb. Contreras 2 hits. Madrigal looks much better. And Keegan Thompson 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, no walks. Yeah. 3 strikeouts. It was a fun game.
Yeah, man, it felt good to see the offense break out a bit. Glad Suzuki was able to get a base hit. And you know, just following up with yesterday, I know Suzuki's going to be okay, guys. And I'm going to, and I
hope
said,
so.
I said I'm going to give him a year. I watch the team every day. So I talk about the team every day. And this has just been a rough slump. I think he's going to be fine. I'll tell you, Velasquez has really hung around longer than I thought he would.
Yeah.
He's starting to put together better at bats. Big day for Morel. That was nice to see. I actually thought Keegan Thompson did not have good stuff or command today. I think it was a situation. I thought it was a situation where, I mean, if you look at the exit velocity, as Boog likes to point out, every single time somebody hits the ball, they were hitting the ball really hard. I think he was, you know, but Keegan Thompson's one of those guys. He's not going to dominate every time out.
Sure.
And it was nice to see him just hang around in the zone, not walk people, and just let the wind and with all due respect, the Nationals lineup do their thing, which is make a bunch of outs, and just pitch to the conditions, pitch to the team. That's what he's going to have to be next year. He's not going to be your opening day starter, but these are the type of starts you need your four or five guy to be able to make. It was a good game. It was a good performance. Madrigal.
Yeah, what are you seeing from him that's better?
Taking pitches. He's not his biggest problem, and Horner had a little bit of this earlier in the year as well. Mm-hmm. Is these guys are so good at making contact that they feel like they can make contact whenever, and they swing at a lot of pitchers' pitches, especially early in the count or when you're ahead in the count, right? So if you're ahead 2-0 and you swing at a sinker low and away and hit a grounder to short, like that's not a good 2-0 pitch to swing at. When you're up 2-0, you want to do damage, right? Mm-hmm. You want to do damage. You're looking to hit the ball in the gap or out of the ballpark. And I think that's been a really rough go of it with Madrigal. He just swings at a lot of pitchers' pitches. So what's happening right now, and obviously it's early days, but the adjustment that it looks like he's made is he's taking a lot more pitches. I think he walked twice today, which probably, you know, increases his total by a large amount on the season. He hasn't walked much, and what that will happen is that'll get around scouting reports, and he'll start to get more strikes and more hittable pitches. And then instead of just, hey, I'm Nick Madrigal, I make contact with everything, he could actually barrel some balls up and maybe get some doubles or find the basket, God forbid. And
that's
and
all true though.
And all of a sudden, you know, his contact stuff, you know, because he does have a valuable tool, he can make contact whenever he wants.
Totally.
But that also could be a liability for
you. A detriment,
you,
yeah.
If you're just swinging at everything. And Nico Horner's worked through that and gotten better at that. And maybe Nick Madrigal will as well. So encouraging stuff from him. We should have the brooms out before the Field of Dreams game.
I agree.
We're a better baseball team than this Nationals club.
Yeah, 29 other teams are, according to the win percentage.
Yeah, and they would be correct.
I'm excited to be at the game tomorrow. Stroman going for
you to
the
go
series
to the game
win.
Tomorrow. I'm Thank excited you. For you to go to the ball game tomorrow. I'm sorry I can't make it.
I want to squeeze it in before we start school on Thursday on the 11th of August.
Yeah, no, that's early. And some would say you're starting school in the middle of summer. But
correct.
I'll be watching that game, and I promise you on our friendship, let alone our work relationship, I'm not going to miss a pitch of that ball game.
I believe you 100%. Hey, thanks everybody for subscribing on YouTube. If you haven't yet, be sure to hit that button and smash the like and all our favorite Cubs content, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and drop us a text like many have recently that we've read on the show. And we'll read your text as well. 312-834-4634. We have the great Lindsey Crosby from Locked On MLB Prospects. That will be dropping on Wednesday. And that was a fun show. We're excited to release that. We want, again, just thank you for making Locked On Cubs your first listen every day. He's Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. This is Locked On Cubs.